and welcome to Iris for Sunday, October 29th, 2023. We've had our first snow of this winter season, and I hope all of you are staying warm in the Siouxland area and dry as you can. All right, let's take a look at what the Sioux City Journal has in store for us today. Initially, let's take a look at the five-day weather forecast so we can see if we have more snow coming our way. All right, looking for our five-day forecast, we can see today things will be cold with clouds and sun. Winds will be from the west, northwest of about 7 to 14 miles per hour, and we're looking at a high of just 37 today. Tonight, it'll be clear and cold, winds from the west, northwest, 6 to 12 miles per hour, and a low of just 19 degrees. Monday, chilly with plenty of sun, winds from the west, 7 to 14 miles per hour, a high of 41 and a low of 22 degrees. Tuesday, partly sunny and cold, winds from the northwest, 8 to 16 miles per hour, high of 35, a low of 19 degrees. Wednesday, sunny to partly cloudy, winds from the south, 7 to 14 miles per hour, a high of 45, a low of 24 degrees. Thursday, sunny, winds from the northwest, 6 to 12 miles per hour, a high of 50 and a low of 35 degrees. Now with that out of the way, let's turn to the front page of today's paper, where we look to NAIA football between Northwestern and Morningside College. Headline, Northwestern wins latest chapter in rivalry. Northwestern 34, Morningside 20. And it shows a picture of a football game being played in the snow. So as a Northwestern player is being grabbed by a Morningside University player. A caption for the image says, Northwestern quarterback Jalen Gramstad is brought down by Morningside's Isaac Pingle during Northwestern College versus Morningside University football action Saturday in Orange City, Iowa. Northwestern won 34-20. And now for the article itself from Orange City, Iowa. Add another chapter to one of the most storied rivalries in the history of NAIA football. And when it's all is said and done, Saturday's game between Northwestern College and Morningside University may prove to be among the most memorable games that pitted the two powerhouses against one another. Quote, it's definitely one our guys won't forget, Northwestern head coach Matt McCarty said of his team's 34-20 victory over the Mustangs. Northwestern, the top-ranked NAIA team and reigning national champions, entered on a 21-game win streak, its last loss coming in last season's opener to Morningside. The third-ranked Mustangs went into Saturday winners of 75 consecutive regular season games and 78 straight within the Great Plains Athletic Conference, a span that dates back to November 15th of 2014. Quote, I think when Northwestern and Morningside play each other, we bring out the best in each other, said McCarty. Quote, we learn a lot about each other when we meet, and it's always a great atmosphere. Quote, it's a big win. This gives us an opportunity to have home field advantage in the playoffs, and that's always huge. Throw on top of it an unexpected, unrelenting blizzard that blanketed Corver Field at Develis Stadium in Orange City, and the teams not only had to battle each other, but the elements as upwards of 4 inches of snow fell from the heavens over the course of the game. Quote, this is the type of game you grow up dreaming about playing in, said Northwestern junior quarterback Jalen Gramstad. Quote, we feel like kids out there playing in the backyard. Quote, it's an awesome time to be a Raider. The game went into the fourth quarter tied 20-20. Just before the end of the third, Morningside punted and backed Northwestern up to its own one-yard line. Northwestern, facing its third down of the drive, handed the ball off to running back Connor McKillen, and the 6-foot, 210-pound senior broke loose for a second score of the game, a 56-yard run to cap off an 11-play, 99-yard drive to give the Red Raiders a 27-20 lead with 10 minutes, 20 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Morningside hung on to hopes of getting the ball back down 7 when it forced the Red Raiders into a 4th and 1 from the Mustangs' 11-yard line. But Gramstad put a lob pass over the top of a Morningside defender to find freshman receiver Austin Gerard in the back of the end zone to make it a two-score game. Quote, it was called as a designated run, but I took the snap and ran right and just needed to make something happen, end quote, Gramstad said. I appreciate the coaches putting the ball in my hands when it matters. The Red Raiders scored the game's final 21 points. Morningside junior running back Ryan Cole scored the game's first two touchdowns. He came first from 4 yards out and second from 2 yards as the Mustangs took a 13-0 lead within the first 4 minutes of the second quarter. Northwestern got on the board a little over 2 minutes later when Gramstad found 6'3" senior receiver Michael Story for a 22-yard passing touchdown with 9 minutes and 19 seconds remaining until halftime. A McKillen scoring run from 7 yards out and Eli Statter extra point tied the game at 13 with 5 minutes and 54 seconds left in the second. The team's dual threat quarterback then exchanged rushing scores. Morningside's Lennox Brown sprinted 39 yards down the Mustang sidelines to put his side up 20-13. Then Gramstad broke loose for a 38-yard touchdown to tie it. Northwestern outgained Morningside in total offensive yards, 466 to 242. But we struggled moving the ball consistently and dropped some passes, said Morningside head coach Steve Ryan. We just couldn't find the right mix, especially in this weather. But we also couldn't stop them. They got some big runs and made things happen. We made mistakes in all three phases. Gramstad ended 15 of 24 passing for 234 yards plus 21 carries for 131 yards. 3 total touchdowns and 1 interception made by Morningside's Lonel Boyd Jr. early in the second. McQuillan went for 109 yards on the ground of 16 totes and a pair of touchdowns to go 6 catches for 60 yards. Story caught 5 passing for 99 yards and the score, all of which came in the first half. Brown was 8 of 17 through the air for 78 yards and rushed 19 timers for 330 yards and a touchdown, while Cole went for 93 yards and 17 carries. Isaac Pingle led the Mustangs defense with a game-high 11 tackles. Northwestern heads to Mitchell, South Dakota next Saturday to play Dakota Wesleyan, and Morningside is home for Dort. Quote, the GPAC is a strong conference, Gramstad said. Morningside has been on the top of the conference for a long time, but we wanted to knock them off. Kudos to them for what they do. It was a great game, end quote. All right, let's now return back to the front page of today's paper for another sports story, but albeit a less savory one that is kind of bends over to the criminal realm of things. Headline, Reynolds supports state's sports betting investigation, from Des Moines. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds said this week she, quote, wholeheartedly supports the state's investigation into illegal sports betting by current and former University of Iowa and Iowa State student athletes. However, the leader of the state's commission that oversees gambling in Iowa, in a phone conversation with a parent of one of the student athletes who was charged with tampering with records as part of the sports betting investigation, said, quote, a lot of people don't agree with how the state's investigation was handled, according to a transcript of the call in a court filing published this week. Earlier this year, 16 current and former UI and ISU student athletes and other individuals were charged with placing illegal bets and tampering with records to conceal their involvement. At least 5 placed illegal bets on games in which they participated, according to charges filed by prosecutors. The investigation, which was announced in May, was led by the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation. Some of the charges were effectively dismissed when prosecutors allowed a legal deadline to pass. Other individuals pleaded guilty to lesser charges that did not call for jail time. Reynolds was asked about the investigation during a news conference on Wednesday. She referred specific questions to the Iowa Department of Public Safety, which houses the Division of Criminal Investigation, but expressed strong support for the state's investigation. Quote, they did the job. They received inquiries about an issue and they did what they do. And I think they were surprised at some of the results that they found, Reynolds said. They didn't check in with me, but I support wholeheartedly the department and the decisions that were made. But in a court filing published Wednesday, Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission Administrator Brian Orluklo told one of the charged student athlete's parents, according to a phone call transcript, that there may have been, quote, philosophical differences with the Division of Criminal Investigation. Quote, I have strong feelings, but it wouldn't be appropriate for me to tell you. I do think there's maybe some philosophical differences in how this took place. Oherlico told Brad Haneke, the father of Iowa State football player Deshaun Haneke, during a June 8th phone call, according to court documents. During two subsequent phone calls, Oherlico also said to Brad Haneke on June 13th, quote, I don't know if everybody looks at it the same way that the DCI looks at it. And on September 7th, quote, a lot of people don't agree with how things have been handled, according to the court filing. Oherlico, in a statement emailed to the Gazette Friday, said he regularly takes phone calls from the public in an effort to cooperate the commission with transparency and integrity. Quote, as an administrator, I take the commission's mission of maintaining the integrity of gaming within the state of Iowa very seriously. I strive to be transparent with all who take interest in gaming-related issues, as I feel integrity and transparency go hand in hand. Oherlico said, quote, while I certainly do not condone breaking Iowa law, as a dad and coach, I was able to emphasize with Mr. Haneke and his son's situation. The Iowa Racing Gaming Commission did not request or conduct this investigation. The charge against Deshaun Haneke, tampering with records, eventually was dismissed. The conversations between Oherlico and Brad Haneke were filed by the attorney for former Iowa State football player Ioma Uwazuke, who still faces charges of identity theft, a Class D felony, and tampering with records, an aggravated misdemeanor. The felony charge carries a punishment of up to 5 years in prison, and the misdemeanor is punishable by up to 2 years in jail. Uwazuke has pleaded not guilty. During her news conference this week, Reynolds added that she thinks more education is needed to ensure student-athletes fully understand the consequences of sports betting that violates state law or rules that govern college athletics. She acknowledged that such education information campaigns already exist, but said perhaps even more are needed. Quote, this is a wake-up call, too. We just have to do better education to make sure that these kids understand the consequences of doing this. This is preventable, Reynolds said. Quote, and I know they do, but we might need to do more just because it's so available and it's so easy. We really might need to double down on our efforts to make sure that they understand the consequences that are involved. All right, we'll now turn to page A2, the local section, for more local and regional stories. Headline, USD football falls to South Dakota State. From Vermilion, South Dakota. Amar Johnson ran for a pair of touchdowns, and South Dakota State shut down South Dakota's 37-3 on Saturday to take sole possession of first place in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. The Jackrabbits, ranked number one in the FCS coaches poll, and the ninth-ranked Coyotes, came in as the last two teams unbeaten in conference play. But it was South Dakota State emerging with its 22nd straight victory and 13th over a ranked team in that span. It was also the Jackrabbits' 14th straight conference win. The Jackrabbits rolled up 437-yard offense and held South Dakota to 183, including just 50 on the ground. The Coyotes scored first on Will Leon's 50-yard field goal in the first quarter, but the Jackrabbits dominated thereafter, leading 17-3 at halftime on touchdown runs by Jaden Janke and Johnson in the first of three Hunter Dustman field goals. Johnson's second touchdown came midway through the fourth quarter, and Angel Johnson added the final points in the final minute with a short touchdown run. Mark Gronowski threw for 207 yards with an interception for South Dakota State. The pick by USD cornerback Shahid Barros was the first of his college tenure. Jackson Janke had 93 yards receiving and six Jackrabbits shared in 266 yards rushing. Rushing back Isaiah Davis was held to his lowest rushing total in conference play, i.e. 69 yards on 17 carries. Aiden Bowman was 17 of 31 passing for 133 yards and two interceptions for the Coyotes. Tight end J.J. Galbraith caught eight balls for 65 yards, while receivers Carter Bell and Jack Barnes only managed a combined three catches for 35 yards. The Coyotes now head to Carbondale, Illinois to take on the 11th-ranked Southern Illinois Salukis at 1 p.m. on Saturday, November 4th. Because of the loss to the Jackrabbits, the Coyotes are now tied in conference with the University of Northern Iowa Panthers, who beat the Illinois State Redbirds by 3 points. All right, let's now turn to the Siouxland Business Journal. It's an insert to the main paper for today. And the headline is titled, A Real Need for Education and Support and Awareness. Subheadline, Mandy Graham, new chair of the Chamber Board, seeks to address mental health. From South Sioux City, Nebraska. The new chair of the Siouxland Chamber Board of Directors, Mandy Graham, said she's planning to use her position in the organization to focus attention on the region's mental well-being. Quote, there's a real need for education and support and awareness around mental health in the Siouxland area, Graham told the Business Journal. Graham, 52, has been the chief operating officer of Great West Casualty, a transportation insurer, since 2017. She and husband Jim live in Dakota Dunes with their 6-year-old silver Labrador retriever. They have 3 grown children, Kristen, James, and Max, who live in Boise, Idaho, where the family comes from. She's now at the beginning of her 1-year term as chair of the Chamber's Board of Directors. She succeeds Kristen Vermeulen McManamy, a former television news anchor and director of recruitment and communications with United Real Estate Solutions. The COVID-19 pandemic and the havoc it brought to the mental health of millions of Americans is what opened Graham's eyes to the need for mental health services, she said. Quote, seeing how people have increased their feelings of anxiety and depression and isolation, and some places, some people just don't feel good, don't know why, she said. Quote, other people are dealing with terrible things like addiction or dark thoughts or any number of things. And just to shine a light on that, you're not weak just because you're feeling these things. If you need support, we want to be able to give that to you, end quote. Beyond the grim toll mental health illness exacts on individuals, the cost to employers is steep. One survey from Gallup estimated that absenteeism attributable to poor mental health costs the economy $47.6 billion a year in lost productivity. Quote, absolutely, I looked at it from an employer's point of view where I started to ask, is there more we can do, not just as an employer, but more I can do as a friend, more I can do as a family member, is there more I can do as a neighbor, she said. Great West Casualty, she added, has a robust mental health and wellness program for its employees. Graham's focus on mental health has already gotten buy-in from various quarters, she said. Quote, we have a number of members as well as stakeholders in the community who are driving mental health as much as I am. I'm actually leading from the middle now instead of in the front, Graham said. Graham said she also liked to persist in her predecessor's anti-littering crusade, which was intended as a means to beautify the community. Quote, the chamber does a lot of good work and I absolutely want to continue that, Graham said. Graham started with Great West Casualty at the regional office in Boise in 1997. Quote, I came in at what they considered to be the ground floor, Graham said. Her first position was in underwriting support. Then she was successfully promoted to underwriting assistant, then assistant underwriter, not the same thing apparently, and then on to underwriting, then supervisor, and then manager. Quote, I held every role on the underwriting side of the house, Graham said. She had no post-secondary degree when she landed at Great West Casualty. Although she enjoyed school and had planned to become an attorney, she was unable to complete her degree and instead entered the workforce. Quote, and one of the things I love about Great Western was that after I started here, I found that they had a college equivalency program that they would be willing to tailor for me. So through that, I got a lot of insurance designations and a lot of continuing ed that was applicable to my job. And that provided me with the college degree I needed through Great West, Graham said. The company still offers continuing education opportunities for employees. Graham said she also benefited from, quote, a lot of great mentors along the way. I'd like to think that somebody saw something in me, Graham said, of her many promotions. But also, it's a lot of hard work, and you always have to be ready for the next opportunity that comes. And certainly timing played a role. When you're ready for the next step, and then a door opens, you've got to be there to accept it. In 2016, Jim Jensen, at the time the CEO of Great West Casualty, asked Graham to accept an executive position at the company's South Sioux City offices. With her move to Siouxland, she became the first executive underwriting officer, which was a new position in the company. The following year, she was promoted to COO. She works with Great West's 5 regional offices in South Sioux City, Boise, Arlington, Texas, Bloomington, Indiana, and Knoxville, Tennessee. Quote, with a focus on their underwriting and risk control departments, she said. She also supervises the company's Joe Morton & Sons agencies and oversees the corporate marketing of Great West Casualty. Great West, whose clients are commercial truckers, has leaned into new technology in recent years, Graham said. The company has at its disposal new ways to measure risk and thus offer policies that might not have been possible in decades past. Quote, so we can accept risk and price them properly, where 15 years ago, maybe we would have had to decline an application because we couldn't charge the right amount to cover the risk, Graham said. Quote, since I've been at Great West, we've really branched out and used a lot of analytics and other tools that maybe we didn't have back in the 90s, and to refine and expand actually our capabilities with writing different kinds of transportation insurance for people, Graham said. Jensen, who retired as the insurance company's CEO last year, but remains on the chair on the board of Great West Holdings, has for many years been involved in the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce. He himself was chair of the chamber's board a decade ago. Graham joined the chamber board about 4 years ago. He, and I, Jim Jensen, really wanted to provide some continuity where Great West continued to show commitment to the chamber and to participate actively in that. And so he asked me to consider being on the board, and I said yes, Graham said. Her relationship with the chamber has flourished since she got involved. Something that impressed me about the chamber from the start, especially as someone that was coming in from the outside, was how involved they are in pretty much everything that goes on in our community, he added. Heavily into economic development and furthering quality of life, they're very committed to educating business owners, facilitating conversations, offering resources to the business community and the community as a whole. And I want to make sure that we continue to focus on that. All right, let's now turn to the Ask Amy column and the horoscopes, and we'll do the weather again, and then we will say goodbye to each other for today. Ask Amy. Her column is titled, Spouse Can't Bear to Be with Problematic In-Laws. Dear Amy, I can't stand my wife's family. Things were great in the early years, but became progressively worse over time. Out of the blue, my father-in-law insisted on being called Sir after a decade of me calling him by his first name. He is always, in all capital letters, passive-aggressive towards me. My sister-in-law intentionally invaded my personal space and basically sexually harassed me in order to make me uncomfortable, in addition to directing insults at me in front of her parents. My wife ignores or doesn't acknowledge this, but after her sister admitted and apologized to her, not me, for doing this, my wife acted like it's no big deal. My mother-in-law, RIP, would ignore me in my own house while visiting my kids. Should my wife lay off and let me be? I don't care if she sees them. I want to do right by our two young daughters. Your advice? Signed, Done With In-Laws. Amy writes, Dear Dunn, I think the essential problem here is with your relationship with your wife. Based on your narrative, it seems you haven't pushed back at your in-laws' mistreatment, nor has your wife encouraged you, defended you, or advocated for you with her family. If you and she had found a way to present a united front during your frequent contact with her family, you might have been able to basically teach them how to treat you. At this point, you obviously feel bullied by all of them. Because these in-laws seem to be in your life quite a bit, yes, you should limit your contact with them. But I also urge you to seek professional counseling with your wife. She seems to be in a strong alliance with her family. So if you simply withdraw completely from them, this alliance could turn into a widening gulf between you, which now would involve your children. Next letter writes, Dear Amy, a few years ago, my wife and I initiated a tradition of combining family members' Christmas and birthday presents into one gift of cash so that each person could buy their gift of choice or save the money for another cause. This concept worked fine until we were no longer able to travel to the Christmas gathering. Our gift was delivered to our grandson, his wife, and three great-grandchildren by another family member. It has now been 11 months and we have not received a call or note or any acknowledgement thanking us for this gift. We're not talking about pocket change here. The gift for this family approached $3,000. Our dilemma rests on what we should do for this family during the rapidly approaching holiday season. We would appreciate any other options or recommendations you may have. Signed, Knee Deep. Amy writes, Dear Knee Deep, email or write to your grandchildren first to make sure that they receive this gift. Perhaps you have a canceled check proving that they cashed it. And second, ask why they have acknowledged it. You might add, We wish we could be with you to enjoy the holidays. This gift is our way of trying to contribute to your family's holiday. If you don't wish to receive a cash gift from us, please let us know. We will direct our giving elsewhere. If we don't hear from you, we'll presume that our gift is not needed, useful, or appreciated. We love you all very much and hope that this is an oversight or glitch that can be cleared up soon. All right, let's now turn to the horoscopes for today. Today's birthday, October 29th, 2023. Fortune blesses partnership this year. Dedication and practice build fun, romance, and creativity. Autumn dreaming reveals brilliant ideas before winter challenges require collaboration. Adjust around unexpected springtime plot changes before summer invites physical action, benefiting work and health. Love, romance, and collaboration flower. Aries, navigate a financial challenge. Find new markets and income sources. Negotiate contracts and terms. Trust but verify. Discover lucrative opportunities hiding behind change. Taurus, consider what you want. The eclipse in your sign illuminates new personal directions. Set your sights on the inspiring vision you invent. Dare to dream. Gemini, let your mind roam. Diminish distractions. Savor your private sanctuary. Write about your dreams. Imagine an inspiring future. Invent possibilities worth going for. Cancer, reach a transition with a group project. Share experiences with friends. Get a bigger picture view by listening outside your own circle. Consider options. Leo, make a professional shift. Adapt with new markets. Do the homework. You have more than you thought. Apply your developed talents. Discover lucrative rewards. Virgo, adapt your exploration for new conditions. An investigation draws you in another direction. Review and adjust your plans. Widen your research. Expand your terrain. Libra, new conditions require new financial strategies. Share support with your partner to navigate a changing markets. Adjust for new income sources. Consider alternative options. Scorpio, stay especially considerate of your partner. You're reaching a turning point of transition. Support each other around a challenge or change. Adapt and adjust. Sagittarius, prioritize health and energy. Physical action gets results. Abandon habits that no longer serve you. Practice technique. Nurture yourself with rest and good food. Capricorn, share compassion and empathy. Someone may have a change of heart. Situations can change on a dime. Give your love away and it grows. Aquarius, a domestic challenge has your attention. You can solve this puzzle. Make a change you've been wanting. Reorganize things to improve functionality and flow. Pisces, monitor the news. Maintain objectivity with the controversy. Research, summarize, and share your discoveries. Begin a new creative phase. All right, let's recap the weather forecast for the next 5 days. All right, so for today, it'll be cold with clouds and sun. We're looking at a high of just 37 degrees, and winds will be from the west-northwest, 7 to 14 miles per hour. Tonight, it'll be clear and cold, with winds west-northwest, 6 to 12 miles per hour, and a low of 19 degrees. Monday, chilly with plenty of sun, winds west, 7 to 14 miles per hour, a high of 41, a low of 22. Tuesday, partly sunny and cold, winds in the northwest, 8 to 16 miles per hour, high of 35, a low of 19. Wednesday, sunny to partly cloudy, winds south, 7 to 14 miles per hour, high of 45, low of 24. And Thursday, sunny, winds from the northwest, 6 to 12 miles per hour, a high of 50 and a low of 35. Well, folks, that brings us to the end of Iris for Sunday, October 29th, 2023. Your reader today has been Trevor, and I hope you all have a wonderful day and week as things get a lot cooler. Stay warm. Help yourselves, and if you can, someone else. All right. Bye-bye.